Okay, so the teacher sat part of the mythic dimension. So I'm not going to define myth in this talk, and I'm not going to define Pratitya Samuppada. I'm not going to try to bring those notions together in any way, conceptually anyway. What I actually want to do is to try to communicate some of my immediate responses to the title that Saramati proposed. And these will be fragmentary. I'm thinking of them as heart thoughts thrown up these last so many years, which seem somehow connected to the theme. They're sort of fragments. So fragment one. Pratitya Samuppada, the mythic dimension. And immediately I see the Buddha. Boy Bhante evokes him in those old seminars on the Udana. In the first three suttas, the Buddha is seated in the forest beneath the great tree. And I don't think of fair golden skin and brand new bright yellow robes and lotus thrones. This is a brown man in ragged mud-coloured cloth with long black hair and stubble. This is a man dwelling free, untamed in the forest, like some wild creature. Seated unmoving for 7 days and 7 nights, out of time. In the happiness, the bliss, the ecstasy of liberation. Out of this, he sees, he knows, he senses, this being that becomes, from the arising of this, that arises, this not being that does not become, from the ceasing of this, that ceases. Fragment 2. This is not a formula. This is mantra. This is a flashing forth from the inconceivable ecstasy of liberation. Strip away the complexity of the language, and what are you left with? What you're left with is arising and ceasing. Arising and ceasing. All experience, all events, all things, you and me, this very moment, is a simultaneous arising and ceasing. At no point is there a static is or is not, being or non-being. Look closely for that arising and ceasing, at the breath, the mind, the heart. Look for arising and ceasing. And actually, as you look, even the notions arising and ceasing are too much. Every moment, everything is like a lightning flash, like a brilliantly shining stream of bubbles. Being dissolves, passes over, as soon as it arises. Somehow, I think of the red peonies of summer, in full bloom, already fading. Somehow, they never really fully flower. We are always on the edge of dissolution, and always on the threshold of emergence. Fragment 3. For the Buddha, the Dharma, Pratitya Samuppada, was deep, subtle, peaceful, beyond the reach of thought, the profoundest mystery. He pondered not making it known. People would not understand. He looked again at the beings of the world, but with no ordinary eye, and not even the divine eye, but with the Buddha eye, with Buddha vision. So what he saw cannot be told, no concept can tell it, so that what flashes forth is image, poetry. It's as if all beings are lotus flowers, white and red and blue, their buds opening up out of the dark slime. all beings are praticca samuppada. They are all arising and ceasing. They have no fixed nature. They have an ever-opening nature. And that nature is utterly, ravishingly beautiful, like white and red and blue lotuses, iridescent in the sunlight. Fragment 4. The vision is a feeling vision. Vision and love, compassion, are not separated. And the feeling is described as anukampa, to tremble with, to shake with, to vibrate with. The Buddha's compassion is not a gazing down from on high on suffering multitudes. The Buddha is fully awake to the open, the unbounded nature. He sees and knows and feels that nature in others and trembles with it, shakes in sympathy with it, loves it, wants to bring it forth in us, show us the bliss of liberation. Anukampa, trembling with, is itself praticca samuppada, the emotion of praticca samuppada, ever alert, ever awake to, responding to the opening nature of others. Fragment 5. Anukampa, trembling with. I think of Bhante's incredible insight into the meaning of going for refuge to the Sangha. A vital mutual responsiveness. A complete, honest, harmonious, mutual exploration of the ocean of Dharma, where the distinction between levels of attainment loses its meaning. Fragment 6. Well, there's another side to all this. The 12 links, the wheel. Ignorance and craving and grasping and birth and death and pain. All that is a flashing forth of the Buddha's wisdom. Once, in the middle of the night, I suddenly went into a semi-waking state. I entered pitch darkness, utterly dark and bounded. And the darkness was moving, pulsing, swirling. And like a mantra sounding in that thick dark, over and over, the words, "Independence upon ignorance arises the karma formations." And I somehow knew that this was me, and had been me for a very long time. I am, dark ignorance, constantly creating the form and shape of my life. Somehow it was a relief to know it. I don't want a vision that avoids naming and knowing my ignorance, my stupidity, my craving for and clinging to all that smothers and covers the openness, the radiance, the beauty. So I love the gritty realism of the Nidana chain, its brutality of fact. I need to know about the slime as well as lotus flowers. Fragment 7. Some weeks ago, during a sadhana retreat, Sujvala gave me a piece of flattened, shining copper pipe and said, "Here is a piece of the copper-coloured mountain." Taking the copper, I caught its scent, and suddenly I was a child again. My father just home from a day of plumbing, smelling of copper, flux and tobacco, washing his great hairy arms in the sink. And later, me sitting on his knee eating from his plate, the highly seasoned, magically empowered food. At the same time, memories came of the first Buddhist image I ever responded to. A painting of beloved Guru Rinpoche in the pagoda-like palace on the glorious copper-coloured mountain ecstatic in the midst of a swirling mass of darkers and darkenies. For a day, a strange, rare, magical blending of emotion. The rich soil of childhood, blending with the first stirrings of faith, blending with mantra and beloved presence. Strange, mysterious, surprising interconnections and intersolutions. A Hua Yen commentator says, because of the mysterious Dharma world, a complete harmony and non-obstruction, all the stages of the path interpenetrate without obstruction. And Vimalakirti says, in the jungle, flowers like the blue lotus, the red lotus, the night lotus, the white lotus, and the water lily do not germinate. It is in the mire and on sandbanks that these flowers germinate. It is in beings mingled with the mire and sandbanks of the kleshas that the Buddha qualities germinate. Fragment 8. Well, I always seem to come back to love in the end, to call it that. The body, physical, mental, spiritual. After so many years, so many lifetimes of toil and pain, suddenly relaxes and straightens naturally. And at the heart there is a strange sensation, an exquisite, unnameable pain, a vulnerability, a raw, open pain. And then the arrival of the young, angelic Persian master, in the heart, above, everywhere, not locatable. And then this natural, sweet, loving, which is me and not me. And the love and I go effortlessly to my father, my mother, my sisters, my friends, to my beloved teacher, to everyone and everything. And I start to pass through, start to float and blend with this valley. The love goes to the dense gorse thickets and to the tangled roots where the wild boar live, to the great cliffs where the families of birds live. The loving goes to the dark lair of the snake, and I am in the trees where all the birds are sleeping. There is no resistance, just this tender, sweet, protecting love, free-flowing, all-pervading, passing through it all. Vimalakirti tells how a bodhisattva who dwells in the inconceivable liberation, he tells how he can pour the four great oceans into a pore of his skin, how he can ingest into his stomach the whole mass of fires that blaze at the end of the kalpa, how he can transform the cries of all beings, the great metaphysical distress, into Buddha voices, into the words Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. Vimalakirti tells of the great love that is without duality, because it is neither inside and outside, neither self and other. Fragment 9. Heart thoughts arise and heart thoughts cease. And in the end, I'll always return to kneeling on the ground. And I honestly don't care if the beloved master or the great love is within or without, immanent or transcendent, whether it's self-power or other power, just so long as I'm trembling with, shaking with love for my beloved master and for all those around me. Just so long as I remember the great mantra that resounds all through the Buddhist world. The Tathagata has shown the origin of those things which arise from a cause. Their ceasing too he has shown. This is the teaching of the great Shrama.